Down to Business with Bobby Kerr on News Talk.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland.
Now for this week's industry review, we're talking about one of Ireland's most iconic food traditions. Yes, it's the chipper. So how are operators adapting to changing tastes, rising costs and major staffing challenges? Joining me to discuss all these questions and more are Nuisin Halivand. She's the manager at Hooked in Galway. Roberto McCarry is here. He's the operations manager with Romeo's Diner Group. Very welcome, Roberto. John Beshoff also joins us, one of the stalwarts of the business. John, are you there? You are? Okay. We'll come back to John. Hopefully we'll get him in a minute. Roberto, let me start with you. Talk to us generally about your business, first of all. I know it was it's a business that goes back many, many years.
Yeah, so it's the Romeo's brand, and we're a family business still at heart. And it started back with the grandparents, the Nonno and Nonna, coming over in the early 50s. Then they set up their first place around 59, would have been a fish and chip, a chipper, as we say. And then my own father would have got his start. He kind of left school a little bit early, married my mother, and then they got their start down in Longford. And I think then his brother followed him down as well, but they set up two places there and fish and chips became the business. And then from there, they moved back to Dublin, and he'd always stayed involved with fish and chips and chip shops. And he'd bought a few units over the years. But when it comes to the Romeo's brand itself, the original one would have been based in Clonsilla in Dublin 15. And it kind of kicked off from there. And then, say, around 12 to 15 years ago, I know my older brother and older sister were involved ahead of my time. And the kind of thought was put to mind, why don't we brand it? And rather, where it would have been a conglomeration of, say, McCarry's, Gino's, a variety of names, as everyone knows, but it then became Romeo's. And we kind of took the view, let's grow it under the one brand.
And you've got, what, 8 odd home stores and then 15 odd franchises?
That's correct, yeah. So 15 franchises and 7 direct.
And tell me this, so are all you guys related? The McCarry's, the Cafolas?
Well, we're not all directly related. I'm sure distantly in some sense.
Yeah.
I'm sure some of the listeners are probably familiar with the town over in Italy, Casalatico. There was actually a few shows on it over the years, but there's an Irish fest and everything held there. I think its sister town is based in Nace.
That's great.
It's well known, but the thing with the Italian families, they all came from the same town essentially. And I suppose the way it works is one person leaves, they come over to Ireland, news spreads, oh, we're able to get work over here, a little bit of economy and growth. We figured out the Irish really like fish and chips, let's sell it to them.
Isn't that
and then
great?
They all followed over, you know. So
great. Well, let's bring in Nuisin Halivand, owner of Hooked in Galway. Nuisin, you're very welcome to the programme.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
Now, you have a similar story of family. Your father arriving from Iran with no English, ending up building a hugely successful seafood business in Galway. Tell us more, Nuisin.
He did. Well, my dad came over from Iran in the 1980s with very little English. And I suppose the first job that he was able to get was on fishing boats. And from there, he developed himself in the industry, buying a prawn shelling factory and then a fish shop in Henry Street in town. And then much later on, he bought another unit out in Berna, where we're actually from, and started a fish shop there. And then in 2014, we opened Hooked Restaurant, our first Hooked Restaurant. And then in 2019, we opened another one in Berna. So the one in Berna has closed in 2014, but the one in Henry Street is still open.
And am I right in saying, Nuisin, that you control the whole supply chain? So from the fish that comes off the boats to the distribution, so in terms of you're in touch with the product right from the sea?
Absolutely. Yes, so he started a fish factory, which actually adjoins our Henry Street fish shop, and our restaurant in Hooked. So all the raw material comes directly from our factory next door, and that's named Ali's Fish Market. So that really supplies a lot of the restaurants and the hotels around the Connacht region, as well as ourselves.
Wow. Okay. That's amazing. So what are the challenges then, Roberto, when we look at the business? You know, we've heard an awful lot of very public comment around the challenges around, I suppose, attracting, retaining staff. Maybe the hours are quite unsocial. So, you know, you got to work hard to motivate and keep people.
Yeah, definitely. I think, though, a bit of that is maybe perception as well from the past, because traditionally the fish and chip shop was the place that stayed open till after pub time.
What are the kind of typical hours now?
So now a lot of our stores would run from, say, 12 till 11 p.m., 10 p.m. So while it is late at night, it's not super late like it used to be known. But even still, though, it's the food service industry. When it comes to staffing, turnover is high. But what I will say, within our group, we have a set of managers and say franchisees who've been with us in some cases 25 years plus, yeah. You know, so that's a big part of it. So while it comes to say base level staff, there's always going to be high turnover. But when it comes to our set of managers, we do have a great team. And a big part of that now is to implement, I suppose, a lot of new technologies as well, to stay communicating and constantly train and retrain the managers as well as the staff. So as I said there, communication is key for us, because we're now a larger group. If we want something changed or something updated, we need to communicate that with the guys straight away. And we have to have a set of people that we rely on to pass the message on and train the staff at the store level.
I think John Beshoff might be with us. John Beshoff, co-owner of Beshoff Brothers. John, you're very welcome to the program.
Yeah, thank you.
Tell us this, John. When we talk about fish and chips, what typically is the fish that's in the fish and chips when we see it with butter, when we see it with a batter product? We used to think it was cod. Is it now pollock?
No. We just use cod exclusively. North Atlantic wild caught cod.
And tell me about our cod stocks in Irish waters. Am I right in saying they've been fairly depleted over the years?
That's part of the story. The real issue is that you have foreign fishing fleets fishing outside the limit, and they're inhibiting stock that would go into the Irish waters. So they're catching it outside
And is the bottom line, John, that you really can't get Irish, or you're not allowed catch, or you can't get Irish cod then to use for the traditional fish and chips?
Yeah, well, most of the cod we use, it's caught in the North Atlantic.
Yeah.
And it's processed on board on factory trawlers. And we buy in bulk and we buy in advance. We have all our stock bought now through till next spring.
So it's like a futures business. You're buying fish on the basis of the futures market.
Well, yeah, it's just like kind of like hedging to a certain degree. But the thing is that if you don't lock into a deal, then you can be left in the lurch. And
sure.
At least we have stability and we know exactly what we're playing with.
How's business? It sounds busy there in the background. How's business?
Business is very good.
Yeah.
It's in the last 12 months, this is over the last 12 months, we turned over 6 million, which is a record.
Well done. That's a lot of fish and chips.
Yeah, and we had approximately 256,000 customers. So, you know, it's reasonably, it's satisfactory.
What's not to like, says you? All right, John, we'll let you go back to your busy day there, and I'll continue to talk to our guests. Nuisin, tell me a little bit about your menu and how you decide what to serve.
Well, you know, while fish and chips is really predominantly what sells on our menu, it's quite diverse in that we have the opportunity to go in and pick whatever fish we want from the day because of our fish factory next door. So depending on what's freshest, it will go on the specials board. But we would have a mix of risottos, linguinis, turbot, wow, black sole. And then, you know, our catch of the day changes again, depending on what's freshest. And it would be more predominantly haddock or hake than cod.
I see from my notes here that one of your philosophies is to keep things simple. Sometimes that's mm-hmm. not easy. Sure, it's not.
No, but at the same time, you know, when we opened the restaurant, it was really with the idea that it would be somewhere that the community around us could kind of come and sit down and have an affordable and accessible meal maybe once or twice a week. And, you know, we would have a lot of our older clientele coming in and, you know, sitting alone, I would have the time to sit down with them and have a chat. And I suppose over the years, you know, with the rising costs and things like that, things have changed a little bit. You're not seeing those return customers maybe once or twice a week. It'd be once a week as a treat for them.
Yeah.
But the idea really was that it was not going to be an intimidating experience, that it would have high quality produce in a relaxed atmosphere.
Tell me about takeout versus dine in. Is it possible to run the two simultaneously? Are they not in effect two different businesses?
Not really. You know, we started the restaurant with 20 seats. So, you know, to really maximize what we were doing, we were doing a takeout service at the same time. And over the 12 years that we've had the restaurant, it has developed and we've extended from 20 seats to 70 seats while still being able to maintain the takeout service. That does run through the same doors, so it is busy, but I have really incredible staff that know how to handle all of the things that are happening at the same time.
That sounds great. Roberto McCarry from Romeo's, back to you. The evolution of the menu in your own brand has been quite significant. Tell me about the introduction of things like pizza ovens in all the stores, health-conscious items now on the menu. Does that kind of reflect a changing demand in what people actually want? You mentioned earlier there that they're no longer sort of 3 a.m. or 2 a.m. venues, so it seems to me like a lot has changed within the business.
Definitely, Bobby. Like, I'm a 30-year-old myself, so I know I kind of grew up and I suppose attitudes were changing even towards food. So on the Romeo's menu itself, we do have a few leaner options and we use a premium grilled fillet, which we grill to order, 180 grams, I think 45 to 50 grams of protein. And that's in a few products across the range. So the only difficulty with that is trying to let the customer know what the options are there. And as I said, I'm of a generation now where I think there is a lot more awareness on that and kind of the healthy side of food. And you don't necessarily have to go to a healthy place or stay away from the chipper. You can still look at the menu once you know what's in the food and you can select the correct options. So for us, I suppose our job is to educate the customer. But you mentioned pizza as well there. That kind of came into it around 12, 15 years ago when the whole rebrand started to kick off. And I suppose reason being was some of the larger competitors out there or the international guys, pizza was a key offering. And we kind of said, let's give our go at this. And another great thing about pizza, it's automatically
90%
valued.
Margin as well.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about coffee in a minute. But with pizza, it's very good. Like, I suppose it's automatic value because one pizza can feed 2 to 3 people.
Yeah.
And as well as that, it allowed us to create a lot of bundles on our menu. So again, we'll pair a pizza with some side options and then the customer will get a lovely few boxes easily delivered or easily taken away. It feels like a big meal. It feels a few people and it's at a great price.
Tell me about the spice bag. A lot of debate about it. I see a lot of stuff online about it.
The spice bag is a funny one. It's become an Irish institution and like, I know even myself, I think one of the big international chefs, Matty Matheson, he's a bit of an actor and a comedian as well.
Yeah.
I saw he actually did a video on it recently. So with Romeo's, we introduced the spice bag. You could say we were late to the party, but I think it was very well received. And we actually, we did a good launch with it. We did a half price day, kind of a week after launch. We thought the thing was going well. We wanted to get it out there. It went unbelievably well that day. Let's say the stores are quite busy with it. And I think the key difference with ours, and I suppose your standard one, was the real fresh potato chip, which I suppose it really makes a difference for the customer. It's not your frozen chip, natural product. Our chicken is high quality as well. So kind of the fresh veg in it. As I say, we cook everything to order in Romeo. So that's one of our key things. We like to give the customer fresh food, fresh as possible. I know delivery times, we try to hedge that as well. But we have a great system where we can it comes in and you can see it timed and the customer can see the order as it progresses.
Good job. Well, look, it's been a pleasure to talk to all three guests. Nooshin Halivand, manager of Hooked in Galway. Thanks for joining us, Nooshin. Enjoyed talking
to you.
Roberto McCarry there.
Cheers.
He's the operations manager with Romeo's. And John Bishop was with us earlier of Bishop Brothers. I'm afraid.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 8. News Talk. Conversation that counts.